Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we give you, Lord, the praise and glory. Thank you for your goodness and your mercies toward us. We thank you for this new day that we are enjoying the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And we glorify your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. We declare, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. So, Lord, let that light shine into our hearts today. Let your name also be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'll be speaking on with God, there is no variableness or shadow of turning. With God, there's no variableness or shadow of turning. We start here in the book of James, chapter 1, and this text comes from verse 17, and I'm going to be speaking about the attributes of God that are, you know, steadfast, without change. Praise God. That's all we're going to be talking about. And we'll be praying also that we may inherit, you know, those kinds of attributes as well. So the book of James tells us that every good gift and perfect gift comes from above, you know, from God, who is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James chapter 1. And verse 17. So that's our leading or lead off text today. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So first of all, we see here in this scripture that every good thing comes from the Lord. We also see that this scripture calls him the Father of lights. Well, that makes you light because he's our heavenly Father and we are all points of light. And so he's the Father of lights. He's not the Father of darkness. There's no darkness in him at all. Now, but you know, we also go on to say, I should say, and it also goes on to say, with God, there is no variableness and no shadow of turning. That's what we're going to be talking about. What does that mean? It means he has a never changing nature. There's no yo-yo stuff with him. You know, no mood swings either. Yo-yo means, you know, one day is up, another day is down. Mood swings means, well, you know, he feels like it. He's feeling it or he's not feeling it. People say, well, I'm not feeling that. You know, the day he's feeling it, he says yes to you. The day he's not feeling it, he says no, or he doesn't even answer. No, there's no such thing like that with God. He is faithful. Hallelujah. There is no variableness. It's not yes or no, perhaps, maybe. There's no shadow of turning with him. You know, praise the Lord. You know, even the great lights that God created, the sun to give light in the day, the moon and all these things, well, they have variableness. They have shadow of turning. The sun, because of the rotation, you know, of the earth around it and also the spinning of the earth on its axis, we get You know, sometimes it looks like the sun is shining. Sometimes it looks like, you know, it's casting a shadow, you know, and so forth. Yeah, but not with God. He's always just the same. Praise the Lord. Let's look at some of his attributes, you know, that have no yo-yo stuff with it. And, you know, as we discover these attributes of God, well, let's try to align ourselves with the same. After all, we are sons of God. We've been talking about that for weeks. Well, you know, so if we are like God, I mean, if we are his sons, then we should be like him. I mean, you know, we should inherit those traits and those attributes of him. The first one I want to talk about, and this is in no particular order, I'll just talk about several, give you some scriptures and stuff when we discuss them. His unchanging nature. You know, that's the first thing. The fact that he's God and that he's been God forever and will always be God. You know, that's the first thing that comes to mind when we think about God. And as I go through this lesson, I'm going to invite you, you know, you may put in the chat room certain attributes of the Lord that you consider to be steadfast. That's unchanging. Because we're going to be talking about, I have several to go through here. That's why I call this part one. Because, you know, it may take us 2 days or so to get through it. So the first of it is his unchanging nature. If something comes to your mind, go ahead. Put it in the chat room for us. So unchanging nature. Well, that means that he has forever been God. He is God. And he always will be God. Praise God. You know, so, and how do we know that? Well, the scripture tells us this, you know, that God did not just set up shop at one time. The book of Genesis chapter 1 tells us in the beginning. Whose beginning? That was not God's beginning. That was the beginning of the works of his hands, whether, you know, heaven and earth. But God himself has no beginning. You know, somebody asked once, he said, well, who created God? You know, so God has, somebody has to create God. Well, if you think like that, then you keep thinking if A was created by B and B was created by C and C was created by D, well, who started it all then? You know, so that argument holds no water. Some people say, well, God cannot just exist. Something had to have created it. Okay, well, what about that? Who created that something? What created that other something? You know, so you can trace it back and trace it back. You know, that argument holds no water. He is God, has always been, has no beginning, has no ending, and he always will. Psalm 90 and verse 1 and 2 tell us that God has been like that. From generations past, he has always been like that. You know, there's nothing, you know, that he is just all of a sudden going to become. You know, so God does not become anything. He has always been. You know, now we can become like him, but God cannot become anything. Now, so we want you to understand that. And when we understand some of these things, it will give us even more confidence in our relationship with the Lord. So let me read to you Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, even before you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Hallelujah. You know, so, I mean, from beginning, well, that's our beginning, not his beginning. To the end, he's God. And he never changes. And he's always the same. The scripture says the same thing about Christ. Hallelujah. It says in Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, the way he was yesterday is the way he is now, and the way he is going to ever be. There is no variableness in him, and no shadow of turning. Praise the Lord. You know, and you know, creatures around the throne and all the elders and everybody we're told that's around the throne, well, they say the same things. You know, they give glory to him who was, that's right, and who is, all right, and who shall be. There's no difference to him. The way he was, the way he is the way he is to come. No difference at all. Well, let's read one or two statements in the book of Revelation. As the book of Revelation opens up, we are told these things about the Lord. John was commanded to write the things that he saw and so forth, you know, and let's write it. John, Revelation 1 and 4, he says, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. You know, is always just the same. There is no shadow of turning, and there is no variableness with him. And listen to how Jesus himself declared it in verse 8. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. So the same. He's always been the same, and he will never change. That's his nature. In the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, we read this statement concerning the coming governor. This was the verse that the scribes and so forth used to figure out where Christ will be born after the wise men came. We've seen the star of him that is to be born king of the Jews. And Herod said, well, go search the scriptures and tell me where he will be born. Micah chapter 5 tells us, you know, that this same Jesus was someone that did not just set up shop. He did not just set up shop when Mary got pregnant. He had been from of old, even from everlasting, he has been there. And you know, it's interesting for us to consider that about the Christ, because you know, he was born as a baby, so it looks like, well, definitely had a beginning, but no. And that's the same thing with us as well, you know. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, Micah chapter 5 verse 2, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old, from everlasting. He's been there forever, O Lord. You know, thou art God from everlasting even to everlasting. In the beginning, John chapter 1, verse 1. You know, was the Word. and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he has been like that. We always be like that. That is his nature. His nature, that's the very nature of God. God doesn't become. He doesn't grow. You know, he doesn't learn anything new. He's just always the same. Now, because of that, we understand his, you know, or we begin to learn the infinite capacity of his mind. I mean, he knows everything from the beginning, even before the thing wasn't there or formed. He knows it all. He knows how it's going to play out. He knows how it's going to end. And because of that incredible, and he never forgets anything too. You know, so think of it this way. If you had perfect memory, since the way I always explain it, if you had perfect memory, anytime you see, read, or hear something, you never forget it. Even if you read a book of 1,000 pages, you can remember it word for word because you had perfect memory. Photographic memory, they call it, but perfect memory. You see it, or you hear it, or you read it, and it stays with you, and you can recall it. You also have perfect recall. If you had that, and, well, suppose you watched a movie, and then because you have perfect memory, right, you only need to watch it once. Now, even people who don't have perfect memory, if they watch the movie many, many times, maybe their favorite movie, they watch it enough times, they can know, you know, the scenes as they play out. Oh, this is what's going to happen next. That's what this person is going to say, etc. You know, and so if they are trying to describe it to a friend who hasn't watched it, or they are sitting down watching with somebody who hasn't watched it, when somebody speaks something, because they've watched it many times, they can narrate the next thing the other person is going to say or what's going to happen next because they've seen it before. Now, that's even people who don't have perfect memory because they've seen it multiple times. But somebody who has perfect memory only has to see it once and he remembers everything the same way that you or I who don't have perfect memory will have to see it multiple times because we can't remember it like that. Now, God, being God, you know, before the thing even played out, he already saw it. That's how great he is. And he can never forget it. And he knows the sequence of events. He knows what's going to happen. He knows how each person is going to react to something that happens. Yeah, which means he also knows what the devil is going to do before the devil tries to do it. Hallelujah. He knows every move that the devil is ever going to try to make before the devil even tries to make that move. Glory to God. You know, so God is at an advantage. Hallelujah. The devil is actually at a disadvantage. But the devil doesn't have that kind of capacity or capability. He's got to wait for God to make a move first, and then he'll try mess it up. But God, he knows what the devil's ever going to do. So that's his unchanging nature. He doesn't learn anything new, and he can't learn anything new. If he started to learn anything new, then he would cease to be God. With him is perfect knowledge of all things. He declares the end, even we are told, from the beginning. Before there was anything, he knew the end of it. Which is why I often say that God doesn't start anything before he first finishes that thing. You know, that may seem counterintuitive to some, but that's the way it is with God. He has finished the thing before he even started it. Well, because he said, you know, he declares the end from the beginning. Yeah, that means before the thing even was, you know, God already foresaw everything. He knows exactly everything, you know. Praise God. So in the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, Isaiah declares this very thing, that God can declare the end from the beginning, because, you know, he has no beginning, neither has he any ending. He has already seen it. He said, you know, I am God and there is none else like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Isaiah 46, verse 10, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Now, if you have that kind of foreknowledge, then that actually gives you the capacity and the ability to see every landmine and avoid it, you know, and it can help us navigate, because he has seen everything, you know, whatever the devil is planning, God has already foreseen it. You know, if he's planning a trap for you, well, God has already seen it. Praise God. In the book of Proverbs, you know, chapter 1 and verse 17, we're told that in vain, see, it is futile for you. It is vain for you to try to set a trap for a bird while the bird is looking. You know, because it can see what you are trying to do and it's not going to work. Surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. Well, you know, whatever the devil is planning in secret, it's not secret. The eyes of the eagle has seen it. The Lord has seen it already. Praise God. And he knows how to mastermind that thing every time, you know, to his own purpose and to your own good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, that's his unchanging nature. He will be the same tomorrow as he is today. 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now, he will still be exactly the same. Isn't that beautiful? There's no variableness with him, and he will not wake up one day. He actually doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. So I played that song at the beginning. And so it's not like he will just wake up one day and say, ah, what's happening? No, it's no such thing, you know. God, you know, is infinite. In fact, our minds cannot comprehend God in that level. But we do the best we can to try to, you know, use our words to describe him, you know. But, you know, here's what people said. He's never changing. His love, his mercy, his kindness, you know, his goodness. God is complete. His faithfulness, you know, is the everlasting Father, etc. So, all right, I'm going to talk about some of these attributes. Thank you for posting those things. Now, we've talked about his unchanging nature. Remember, the subject matter is with God, there is no variableness. What he says is the way it is. It's not that he says it and then change it and so on and so forth. There's no mood swings. It's not, you know, someday he feels good, so he's going to bless you. Someday he doesn't feel good. And if he's moody, God doesn't get moody. There's no such thing with him. That's with us. Now let's talk about his integrity and his character. The character and integrity of God. What does that really mean? How can we understand that? Well, we have to dig into some scriptures, you know, to try to understand that. First, I like to say, and this is a scripture that I love, and I say it all the time, that God is light, you know, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5 tells us that this then is the message that we have heard from him since the beginning, that God is light, and with him, or in him, there is no darkness at all. Now, light and darkness were there from the beginning. So there's variableness even in the day. Light for half of the day, darkness for another half. And sometimes, you know, the light may shine a little bit longer depending on the seasons, depending on the position of the earth, its orbit, and position of the sun and so forth. May have longer days, shorter nights, or longer nights, shorter days sometimes, you know, and oscillate back and forth. But with God, there's no such thing. It's always just the same. There's no darkness in him at all. You know, so let us remember that. 1 John 1:5. And as we're learning these attributes of him, well, what we see in him, what we learn of him is what we can become. Praise the Lord. Jesus said the same thing in John 6:40. He said, no disciple is greater than his master, but every disciple that is perfect shall be as his master. So the goal of discipleship is to become perfect, to be like your master. And the process, we've been talking about, there's a process to everything. The process of getting to perfection is through discipleship, according to Luke 6:40. The disciple is learning to become like his master, is learning under the master, right? But the goal is that he will be like the master. And when he becomes like the master, master, then Jesus says he's perfect. So when he's perfect, he will be like his master. In other words, you know, when he becomes like his master, you know, then you say he has achieved perfection. So we must always, and Jesus called us out on it, Matthew 5:48, be therefore, you know, perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. So we look to him and see these attributes in him. We need to become, you know, like he in all these areas. Remember, John 1:12, as many as received him, he gave them power to become. So there is a process of us becoming. It's a process of us becoming like God, and we'll see these attributes of God. First of all, you see God in those attributes for you to know that God has the capacity to back up his word for you. And then you begin to see yourself, hey, you know, I can be like this. I can inherit these things. Praise the Lord. Now, let's talk some more about his character and his integrity. The integrity of God is such that he cannot lie, cannot change his mind. You know, it's not like that. He can say something and it will be like it. Now, we as men and people, oftentimes we mean well, but we may not always be able to back it up, you know. You may say you're going to do something, but circumstances may prevent you from doing so. You may tell your friend, you have an appointment, or you go somewhere, you have an appointment, you're supposed to be there by 10 a.m., and you planned in your heart, and you wanted to be there, but some stuff may happen. Maybe you get a tire blow out. Maybe your car doesn't start. Maybe whatever, and you end up being late. Or something else comes up that preempts you, you know, from even going. See? But God is not like that. Because he has the capacity, you know, nothing can stop him. He already knows whatever the devil is going to do. I mean, there's just no way, you know, to even fathom it all. So when he says something, it's exactly like that. If he says, I'll be there for you, that means he'll be there for me. How many times have we said I will be there for somebody and we couldn't because we are limited? Let me invite you to a function in which you meant to go, but stuff happened and you couldn't go. That's not God. There's no stuff that can happen to God to change him, you know. And so here are some things about him. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, we read some statements, powerful statement about the Lord. Now, this is about his integrity. We're now talking about his character and his integrity now. We've talked about his unchanging nature. Now, we're talking about his character and his integrity. God is not a man. Numbers 23 and 19, that he should lie, you know. Neither the son of man, that he should repent, you know, he changed his mind. That's what that means. Well, why do people change their mind? Because they don't have the capacity to see everything through at once. So you only have some limited information, and you act based on information you have at that time. Later on, you may have some more information, and then you may change your mind about the thing you said before, you know, because now there's more information that came to light. You may even change your mind about, you know, how you deal with people. You know, there was something you didn't know about them, so you like them. Now, some revelation comes out about that person, and you don't like them as much anymore because of what they did. You know, so now you've changed your mind about how you're going to deal with that person. Because now you know something which you didn't know before. See, that's not God. God knows your in and out. He knows wherever you are going to do, whatever you are going to do before you ever did it. So if he says, I've loved you with an everlasting love, he's not going to change. Hallelujah. You know, God is the one person that sees you with all your faults and yet loves you the same. Hallelujah. He doesn't change his mind about that. Praise God. You know, so God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man, you know, that he should repent. Let's see, the same thought and concept is presented in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 29. You know, this scripture says pretty much the same thing. Hallelujah. The strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. It's not a man that he should repent. Praise God. You know, what he has said, he will do. And so forth. Now, sometimes it may look like, you know, God changed his reaction, you know, because of what people did. But that's just us trying to understand what we see of him in our own human ways, because he already knew they were going to do that before they even did it. You know, why was it that the lamb was slain before the world began? You know, there was nobody. Nobody had even committed any sin. There was no disobedience. Adam wasn't even there. And yet God made provision for those sins. Why in the world? You know, you think about it. Did all of that because he already knows everything. So it's not that, you know, so, okay, now Adam did something, so now God has to react. Let me scramble the lamb, you know. And the lamb was slain before the world even began. Praise God. Revelation 13 and 8 tells us these things. And slain before the world began. Well, our books, you know, our names are written in the book of Lamb before the world began. I mean, all these things, you know, happened. You know, even before, you know, the world began. And God already knew it. We were chosen in him and so forth. Our names are written in the book before the foundation of the world. Also Revelation 17 and 8. I mean, these things God saw. Because he saw, he can make a decision and an action now about something that is even yet to be. Because he already saw how it's going to play out exactly. Praise the Lord. So when you say, well, blessed is the man whom God chooses and causes to approach unto him, Psalm 65 verse 4. Well, yeah, that's the truth. But also God already knows that man's heart. You know, so he already knows the end. Say, look, I know Abraham, you know, what he would do. I would command his household after me. God already knows. He knows those that will receive him and those that would turn him down. He knows it. And he even knows those that would turn him down at first and then later receive him. Likewise, he knows someone, you know, those who will say yes first and later say no. Just like he knows one who will say no at first and later say yes. He knows all these things, you know, so he can, you know, put the end down. No matter what happens in between, he can put the end down from even the beginning because he has seen all of these things and in between and then the end. Praise God. You know, you can put some money into your bank. Let me explain to you in a simple way. You can have 30 transactions in a day, right? You put in $1,000 at the beginning. Then, you know, a little bit later, you remove 100. Then later on, you remove 200. Then later on, you remove 400. You know, that's 700 you have removed, right? And then later on, you put back 300. Now you have 1,000. You did this all in the same day. And it's as if you are back to where you were, even though you did 4 or 5 transactions during the day. You know, you're back to where you were. You know, so if someone sees the end of the day, that's why even banks, you know, when they process your statements, I mean, your transactions, they do it at the end of the day. You know, and they process them in order of certain ways. You know, there's a way they deal with credits and debits. And they know the end. And it's going to be, come out to be the way it was or should be, because finally that's the way it is. And God sees all of that in one, you know, just one look. He doesn't even have to look. It's in his mind. He sees it all. I mean, we can't understand God, the capacity of God's mind. But he is not a man that he should lie, and neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he spoken? And shall he not make it good? Praise the Lord. Well, what is it that God has spoken to you? Does he have the capacity to make it good? Well, you know, that's a question that you have to answer for yourself. Read the rest of it in Numbers 23. God is not a man, verse 19, that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You know, it's not, there's no variableness and yo-yo stuff with him. What he says, it's the way it is. And so he'll make it good. He has the capacity to make it good. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to know that, you know, these attributes of God that we are revealing, God also wants us to, he wants to impute the same thing with us, unto us rather. He wants us to be like him. He said, be like your heavenly Father. Well, you know, so we've talked about his unchanging nature. We've talked about his character and his integrity. He says what he means, and he means what he says. You know, and the devil is the one that tries to make us doubt God's integrity. He said to Eve, he said, wow, has God said that? God didn't mean that. God knows that you will be wise, but he doesn't want you to be wise. That's why he's trying to keep that from you. And so he tried to paint God in a way, you know, to discredit God's integrity and the integrity of his word. Number three, we're going to talk about that his word. You know, we've talked about his unchanging nature. We've talked about his character and his integrity. You know, let's talk about his word. the word of God. What is it? You know, well, we've spoken back and forth about God's word being his bond. In other words, and you'll see it in a bit when we talk about how he does that. But let's look at the concept of God's word being unchanging. And this lesson is about the unchangeability of God. No variableness, no shadow of turning, no mood swings, no yo-yo stuff. That's what this lesson is all about with God. Now, God's word, we're told, is forever settled in heaven. Psalm 109 and verse 89. It's forever settled. It's not that, well, you know, someday it'll be settled after God knows and gathers more facts, you know, then he will do something. No, his word is forever settled in heaven. You know, heaven is already settled. Praise God. And before he even tries to establish it upon the earth, it was settled in heaven first. And then he wants us to establish it on the earth. But forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89, man. Psalm 119, verse 89. Your word is forever settled in heaven. Well, let it also be settled in our hearts. The Bible gives us the unchangeability of God's word. You know, it says his word abides forever. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. You know, there are things in the field that may fade away. You know, even the mountains and the hills may depart. But his word, according to Isaiah 40, you know, and verse 8, abides forever. Yeah, that's what he says. The word of God abides forever. The grass may wither and fade away, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That means there's no changing of it. Once he says it, it is like that. You know, it's just like that. It doesn't matter whether it takes 1 year, 1 day, 10 years, 5 days, 100 years, that word will stand forever. Praise God. Just believe it with all your heart. His word will never change. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, you know, pretty much tells us the same thing about the word of God, how it abides forever. Hallelujah. See, the word of the Lord, he says, endureth forever. You know, now if you read it from verse 24, you'll see the same thing. He said, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. You know, someday they are shining, the next day they collapsed and shrunk. You know, I have, you know, some plants in the front of the house. I look at them sometimes, you know, some, you know, flower plants and different things. When the sun is out, beautiful flowery stuff, and it just comes out and it spreads, you know, and the flower in the yellow and orange, and it looks beautiful. And then a little later during the day, the thing collapses as if it goes to sleep. You know, once it doesn't have that sunlight, you know, maybe it doesn't have the right amount of moisture, you know, then the thing just collapses. And the next day it was, you know, wake up again, kind of like that. And then I watch it, and it's up and down. I say, wow, you know, but you know, that's the plant. That's the grass. That's not the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is not alive one day, sleeps in the evening and wakes up again. No, he never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's neither weary. You know, and it says, you know, let me finish reading that verse. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This word that we preach unto you every day on this platform, it abides forever. You know, you can take it through all eternity. It's not going to fail. Praise God. It abides forever. This is the word that is preached unto you by the gospel. It abides forever. It's not going to fade away. Hallelujah. Hast thou not known? Isaiah 40 says, Hast thou not heard, you know, that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? I mean, it's a question. He's asking us, have you heard it? Have you known it? Well, yeah, absolutely. If you haven't heard it, well, hear it. You know, the Lord is the same one forever. Have you not known it? Verse 21 of Isaiah 40. Have you not heard it? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood it even from the foundations of the earth? That the God is the one that sits upon the circle of the earth. And this verse was there long ago, even before people were discovering or trying to discover that the earth was round. You already said it here. Seated upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. It's the one that stretched out the heavens as a curtain and spread them out as a tent to dwell in. You know, and says all these things. He said, well, you know, whom will you liken me? To whom shall I be equal? And God is the one who has the power to say, and it stands fast. He has the power, command, and it is done. You go down here, you know, to verse 28, and he says, Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. You know, he doesn't need, you know, to sleep because he never gets tired. Isn't that beautiful? He never gets even tired of our constant, you know, bothering him and, you know, but he welcomes it. Jesus himself told us to do it. Told parables that say, look, this woman kept bothering the judge. And that's why he eventually gave her what she was asking. Told parables of the man that was knocking at his friend's door. The man said, go away, my children are in bed. But the man kept knocking. And eventually the man had to get up and give him what he wants. So he just get rid of the man. Jesus told these parables. He welcomes it. You know, Isaiah 62:7, he said, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence and give him no rest. You know, I mean, God welcomes it. He's never tired of it. You know, as long as we are coming to him in faith and in confidence. You know, so that's how he is with us. And that's how he wants us to be also in our understanding of things of the Lord. And we can develop, you know, that relationship with him to know that, look, he stands behind his word forever. It will never change. You know, so talking about his word is always the same. Praise the Lord. Just like his unchanging nature, his word is the same. For that word is God. It will never change. Praise the Lord. These are things that we need to be confident about. You know, praise the Lord. Now, in Psalm 121, he says, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. So he doesn't get tired. He doesn't sleep. You're not going to catch him off guard. It's not going to happen, you know. And sometimes when people slumber or sleep or they are off their game, can catch them off guard. That's not God. It's always just the same. Praise the Lord. You know, so we're talking about his attributes. and his word. Listen to what, again, what he says here. He says, I will watch over my word and hasten it. You know, I will hasten it to perform it. And thy word that I have spoken will not return void. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. Because his word is steadfast, it's not variable. It's that sometimes it works and sometimes it may not work. No. What he says the word will do is what the word will do. And we must have this, you know, understanding, have this confidence. Praise the Lord. In the book of Isaiah chapter 55, the Lord says this. He said, look, my thoughts are not yours. Your ways, my ways are much higher. You may be thinking one way, but I've already seen it a different way. And he said, well, you know, even the heavens are so far higher than the earth. So, you know, are my thoughts, are my ways. You know, for as the rain, this is, you know, comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return back there, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bud and, you know, bring forth fruit, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be, as has gone out of my mouth, shall not return unto me void, but it will do accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Powerful stuff. You can read that in Isaiah 55 and read from verses 9 through 11. Powerful stuff. So when you say what God's word says, it has the same effect as though God said it himself, because it is his word. You're just repeating it. So that's why we must repeat his word the way that he said it. And say anything different. Say it the way he said it. And then we repeat his word. You give voice to his word. Even the angels react to that. We've talked about that multiple times. So his word goes out. It will not fail. You know, it cannot be stopped. It will accomplish. That means it cannot be stopped. When you set out on a mission, and there may be forces trying to stop you, it's so that you will not accomplish that mission or that purpose. But God says here that my word will accomplish. That means the word of God cannot be stopped. You can't stop it. There's nothing you can do about it. It is going to accomplish what God pleases. He's going to do his pleasure. And he's going to prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. You cannot stop the word of God. Hallelujah. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, look, my zeal, even the very nature of God, will watch over his word to perform it. Whatever he has spoken. You know, he was trying to tell Jeremiah some things, and Jeremiah was like, well, you know, I don't know, you know, this and that, and so forth. And the Lord said, look, yeah, I asked him a question. What do you see? He said, well, I see this and I see that. Well, so, well, fine. You've seen well. You know, he said, I will hasten my word to perform it. That's Jeremiah 1 and verse 12. The Lord will hasten his word, perform it. He'll watch over it as well. You can't stop it. You know, once the word of God goes forth, it's on a roll. You can't stop it. Psalm 33 and verse 9 tells you, when he speaks, it stands fast. And when he commands, it is done. It's that simple. You know, so let's learn to use God's word more and more. Speak his word because it will stand fast. You know, speak his word because it will be done. It will be done. Nothing can change it. He says it will prosper in the thing whereunto it is sent. You know, the only thing that can change it really is unbelief. You know, unbelief. Because we read that story in Numbers chapter 14. their unbelief in not sanctifying the word of the Lord caused a breach of that promise. And we're going to talk about his promise in a bit. The next thing I want to talk about is, you know, unchangeableness, is his promises. We've talked about his unchanging nature. We have talked about his character and integrity, which is unchanging. We've talked about his word, which stands forever and is unchanging. Well, let's talk about his promises. Yeah, promises are part of his word, but let's focus on that for just a minute. Well, what does the Bible say about God's promises? Are they, again, yo-yo stuff? Maybe, perhaps, sometimes? No. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 tells us, it said, the gospel of Christ that we preached among you. Well, you know, this very Jesus, he was not sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes perhaps, sometimes maybe. No. He said, look, this thing we preached was solid. And it's the same way with his promises, he told them. So let's read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you know, and verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even Silvanus, Timotheus and me. Well, he was not yea and nay, but he was yea. He wasn't yo-yo, sometimes yes, sometimes no, back and forth like that. No. He said, for all the promises, not some of the promises. No. All the promises of God in Christ are yea, and in him, amen, to the glory of God, even by us. Hallelujah. God said anything, it's settled. It's settled. It's yea, and it's amen. So have this confidence when you use the word of God. It's not your word. You are not the one trying to make the thing happen. You're just repeating what God already said. This is how faith works. You know, that's why Jesus said, look, if you have the faith when you say the thing, and don't even try to figure out how it's going to be in your mind, because then doubt will set in. If you doubt, it's over. You can't get it. So don't doubt it, but just know and understand and believe it within your heart that the thing you said will come to pass. You know, because that's how God, see, God just spoke the word and the word will come to pass. Let there be light and there will be light. It's that simple. You know, let there be such and such. Let there be a firmament to divide this from this. Then there will be. You know, let the free waters be gathered over here and there, and there will be. You know, let the earth bring forth abundantly, and so it will be. I mean, let this be this, let there be fruit tree, let there be seed in it. I mean, and so it will be. He just spoke it, and it was done. And we need to do the same. Speak God's word over your life, the life of your loved ones, your children, your situations. Just speak his word to that situation. You know, it is the word of God that things in his creation respond to. They will respond to him. When God, immediately God speaks the word, they will respond. One day Jesus, representing the Father, remember, Son can do nothing except the Father shows him. And what the Father shows him is what he does. He says to Peter, go down to the lake and grab a fish. The first fish that comes up, open his mouth, you'll find a coin in there. That's sufficient to pay our taxes for you and for me, so that we don't offend them. We don't need to pay, but, you know, just so we don't offend them, you go do this. God, Jesus was demonstrating something. He could have snapped his hand and given a coin to Peter. Now, no, but he's going to demonstrate something. The moment Jesus said that, I guarantee you, there was a coin in that lake. And all the fish, doesn't matter how many miles away they were, all the fish heard what Jesus said. And they are all, each one of them is struggling to go and get that coin. They're fighting over it. Because the master said, there is a coin in that lake. And the first fish you open will be the one. Every fish now wants to be the one to get that coin. But they responded to the voice of the master. That's the way it is in his creation. You know, one time Peter, he was there all night with his friends. They caught nothing. And Jesus came there in Luke chapter 5. He said, look, do it again. And Peter said, well, I've done it all night and got nothing. But, you know, immediately he stopped himself. Said, nevertheless, at that word. The moment Jesus gave that instruction, cast your net over onto this side. The moment, you know, he said that, all the fish everywhere were running to that direction. And Peter has been there, done that. Nothing happened. But the moment Jesus said it, every fish is going to rush towards that direction. Now, because they respond to his word. That's who he is. He's the master of the universe. Speaks the word creation. All creation respond to it. Now, so we must learn to speak his word like that. Don't worry about how it will be. That's not your concern. You speak the word just like he spoke it. Thank you, Jesus. And that's the efficacy of God's word. That's how powerful it is. Same thing with his promises. Now, to make sure we understand the immutability of his counsel and his promises, he binds himself with an oath. God doesn't need to swear anything. You know, he just says it and it's done. He doesn't need to swear. But he did. Just to make sure we understand that. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. And I'm going to stop here. I have half a dozen more of attributes to talk about. I'm going to stop after this one. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. There's a story here about, it's a back story about Abraham and so forth. But, you know, God actually brought a point out for us here. Well, let's start it from, you know, perhaps verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, right? Because he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. Now, you know, we're told that, you know, when there is debate about something, you know, most people make an oath. And an oath is a confirmation and the end of all strife. You know, when people swear, you know, they tend to believe that everybody would believe them because they have sworn. Okay. Some people say, well, I swear on the Bible. I swear on this life, on my mom's life, my daughter's life. They say all this kind of stuff, you know, because they think that when they swear like that, people will believe them. Okay. Well, God also, you know, showing something. He said, look, when he made promise to Abraham, he also tried to swear. I mean, but he knows that when you swear, people always swear by, you know, somebody swear by the name of God, swear by this, swear by somebody greater. So himself also tried to swear by somebody greater. So he looked, well, let me see who I can swear by. Well, he found no greater. So he swore by himself. Glory to God. Because there is no greater. So he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. So Abraham, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is the end of all strife. This is what I just said. Now, wherefore, listen to this. God, you know, wherein God also willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, not just you, heirs, plural, not just Abraham and not just one person, but you. All God wanted to show the heirs of promise, the immutability, that's the unchangeability of what he says, his counsel and his will and his promise. He confirmed it by an oath. That means God binds himself with an oath, which he didn't need to do, but just to show it to you how the word that he speaks is unchangeable. He puts an oath to it. Hallelujah. You know, and who are the heirs of promise? Are you an heir of promise? If you are an heir of promise, then God is assuring you. He said that he wanted to show abundantly to you, the heirs of promise, the immutability or unchangeability of his promise or counsel toward you. Therefore, he put an oath out there. Glory to God. He had bound himself by an oath. And some people bind themselves by an oath. You say, One time some people bounded themselves with an oath. They said, we will not eat, we will not drink until we kill this Paul. Wherein somebody heard it and went and told it to the guard of the centurion. You know, and so on. But people bind themselves with an oath. I'm not going to do this. I will swear this and that. Well, okay. Because God is dealing with human beings. So God, willing to also show us the immutability of his counsel and his promise, he binds himself with an oath behind every promise. He doesn't need to do that, but he did. Hallelujah. So what this scripture says right here, by two immutable things, which it was impossible for God to lie. He says, surely blessing, I will bless you, number one. Surely multiplying, I will multiply you, number two. And every other promise of God is also likewise immutable. Any promise that you can find in the scriptures is immutable. Now, you must understand, though, that there may be conditions to that promise. But granted that we align with the conditions, it's immutable. Praise the Lord. Now, there are some promises and some oaths that are tied together that God has done. It's not because of us. It's not because you would do anything. You know, he has sworn by himself. You know, he swore by himself. I will bring forth the sons of God. They shall be like me. My image and likeness. He said it. Let us make man. You know, that was his purpose. And that word that came out of his mouth, he said, shall not return void. It will accomplish his purpose. Make man in our image and likeness. That's exactly what will happen. Even though the devil tried to foul it up, well, it may take thousands of years, but that what he spoke will stand. Man will be in his image. They were. And were in his likeness, functioning like God. But we lost it. But Jesus came and restored it. And it everything, he said, it is finished. Everything is being restored to the glory of God. So these are some of the attributes of God. And I want to leave it there because I want to not speak too long today. I've already spoken about an hour or so. But let's leave it there and continue by God's grace tomorrow. A summary of today's lesson is this. With God, there's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. The way he was is the way he is, and is the way he will ever be. We've looked at some of his attributes, and we will look at some more tomorrow. Every attribute of God is unchangeable. You know, his word is steadfast. We'll look at his love. We'll look at his faithfulness. We'll look at a few other things tomorrow. We've looked at his promises today. We've looked at his word. We've looked at his character. We've looked at, you know, he's just the same. His very nature. So this ought to give us confidence, greater confidence in our relationship with God. I'm going to yield the mic and let us talk about it a little bit. We'll continue by God's grace tomorrow. Father, we thank you and we give you the praise for your revelation of yourself that you have been from of old, everlasting. You didn't just set up shop at any time. From generation to generation, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou hast been God. You know, God who was, who is to come, the Almighty God. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And we pray, Lord, as we understand, as you reveal these things to us, we begin to see the integrity of your character. Ah, Lord, we see your integrity. I mean, we see your character. We see that you're not a man that can lie. You're not the son of man to repent and be yo-yo up and down. We've seen even your word. We've seen even your promises. We see these things. And today, we rejoice in them that you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Your love endureth forever. Thank you, Jesus. Give us that understanding and give us that renewed confidence in the relation of whom, with whom we have to do, which is you. Knowing that we have this backing of such great and incomparable and even something we cannot fathom of your steadfastness. How much more that then that we should be strong in our faith in believing you. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.